Ranieri.
Okay, so first we talked a little about Lovett. About the issue of Lovett Be'emtza and the issue of Lovett La'achar. So what's the issue of Lovett Be'emtza? Tosos discusses the very end of Daf Yud Zayin and Aleph of Tosos. What if you have your sukkah? And here you have Tzchach Pasol 1.5 and Tzchach Pasol 1.5 and Avir 1.
Right? So do you say, well, Lavod, let's count it all as 4. If you add them all up, they turn into 4. Tzchach Pasol and Pasol the whole sukkah. Tzchach Pasol is Pasol, as we know, in Dalit Fakhi. So the closest opinion is that no, you don't say Lavod La'achar. Yeah.
We don't say Lavod La'achar. Rav Lichtman said you could have actually been machshir the sukkah for a different reason. Meaning there could be two reasons that you're machshir the sukkah. Because you have to ask, what is the problem of 4 tefachim of Tzchach Pasol? Is the problem that there is a chetza of actual 4 tefachim of Tzchach Pasol, or just a makom of 4 tefachim, which is characterized by Tzchach Pasol? So is it the area that's the posel, like 4 tefachim posel, if it has Tzchach Pasol, or is it the actual Tzchach Pasol of posel? So,
yes. What's the soul of 4 tefachim Tzchach Pasol if you'd say it's the actual chetza? Then this case is kosher. Because there's no chetza of Tzchach Pasol Dalet Fachim. I mean, forget about Lavod. Even if you would say Lavod Lavod, even with Lavod, even if you would say Lavod, there's still how much Tzchach Pasol is there? Only 3 Tzfachim of Tzchach Pasol. So even if there would be Lavod, it would still be Fashion because you just don't have 4 Tzfachim of Tzchach Pasol. So why does Tosos have to say in Lavod La'achar? Because Tosos obviously holds that that a 4 tefach break with Tzchach Pasol is posel. It's not the chetza 4 tefachim of Tzchach Pasol. Yeah, if the psal would be the actual chetza of 4 tefachim of metal pipes or something, then even regardless of whether you say Lavod, you don't have 4 tefachim of Tzchach Pasol. You can't turn air into Tzchach Pasol. You can't turn something into something else. So Tosfos obviously held up. It's the makom of 4 tefachim, which has Tzchach Pasol, which is posel. And then if you would say Lavod, you would say, look, there's a makom of 4 tefachim, and we see it all is defined by the Tzchach Pasol. And that's why Tosfos had to say, I would have a happening in a pasol, because it's a makom of Dalet Tefachim with Tzchach Pasol. It's a Hefsek Dalet Tefachim with Tzchach Pasol, which is posel. And if there'd be Lavod, you'd say, look, is there a Hefsek Dalet Tefachim? Yes. Is it characterized by Tzchach Pasol? Yes, through Lavod. And that's why he says, what we say in Lavod La'achar.
Is another way of saying that? Is the psul an actual 4 Tefachim of psul, or a lack of 4 Tefachim of Tzchach Kasher?
No, you can't say it's a lack of 4 Tefachim of Tzchach Kasher. That would be going too far. Meaning it has to have something with Tzchach Pasol. But you have to ask, is it the actual pieces of Tzchach Pasol that are posel, or the makom that's posel al tzinai that's a makom of Tzchach Pasol? That's not true, because you can't go so far as to say that. Because if you could go so far, then 2 tefachim Tzchach Pasol and 2 tefachim avir would posel, which no. It's before Shlomo that they're not. So that's why you can't go that far, as much as we would have liked.
Right.
But you can't.
Okay. So now, Rav Lifsing wanted to say that ultimately we had a chakira about lavud last time. What is lavud?
Does lavud mean that the hole is filled in? Or that there is still a hole? But it doesn't bother us. So as Rusty said, it could be that this issue of love of Lahatmir is totally in this chakira that we brought up last time.
How so? Because
if love is that the hole is filled in, then maybe we should say it even Lahatmir. After all, if the hole is filled in, then why can't we even say love of Lahatmir? Say that in the principle of love. Look, if it's filled in, it's filled in.
But if it's just that, there is a hole. But holes don't bother us because mechitzas aren't keeping out holes. And that's just saying that sometimes it can be kosher without a hole. But it's not saying, but there's still a hole there.
If there's still a hole there, then we definitely wouldn't say lavud lehachmir.
Because it just doesn't bother us if there's a little hole we can be machshir the sukkah anyway.
But there's still a hole, and if there's a hole, then they're not dalad tvachim uskach possible, no matter which way you look at it.
So we said this might be a nafkamina of that chakira which we brought up last time. Then he wanted to say another nafkamina of that chakira from the sugi of love of Be'emza. What's the sugi of love of Be'emza?
The Gemara brings two examples. It has machlokes of when there's love of Be'emza. This is Tosaf Daf Yud Zayin. Love of Be'emza is the Gemara and sugi Daf Yud Ches and Aleph. And the key seems to be this. Everyone knows that if here's my sukkah, and I'm a little break over here, less than 3 tefachim, here for tzchachman at the fanos, pachli gimel tefachim, this is okay through lavud. What about this?
What if I have a break in the middle of the sukkah? Can we say lavud be'emza? So that's a machlokes for you can say lavud be'emza or not. The same issue comes up, so you have to come over the top.
Right? What if I have also little hole in the middle of the ceiling?
Do we say love of Be'emza? Or do we not say love of Be'emza? So Tosos, Tosos points out, I think Rav Lichtenstein took this as another question, what do you mean, do we say love of Be'emza or not?
Don't we all want on a wall to have a little hole in the middle?
We can say love of Be'emza.
Right? In fact, you can even have a wall made up of, like, strings, right? Right? Or, here's a sign sheet. And here's the ground.
That's a wall. That's love of Be'emza. So it says, obviously, the Suffolk Gemara is not about love of Be'emza, per se. Suffolk is, can you say love of it in the roof? All the love that we're used to seeing all over Shas or on the walls. We never really had a discussion of love in the roof.
The only case of love in the roof is Betzah, which is really connected to the defunct.
Right?
But where's the only pure case of love in the roof? Is what we're calling here love of Be'emza. Right? It's in the middle of the roof,
not near any defunct. Then this is a pure roof love without any intervention of walls. And that's the subject of love of Be'emza. Do you say love it in roofs, or do you not say love it in roofs? Now, what's the nature of that suffix? So if Lichtenstein wanted to explain the suffix in two ways.
Either we say love of Be'emza, which is really another way of saying love in a gag, in the middle of the gag, or we don't say love of Be'emza.
So one way of saying it is
that l'kulei alma love is said in mechitzas.
What's the machlokes? The machlokes is with the roof of a sukkah. Is part of the defanos, is a mechitza, or something else.
The Maharal said you can say love be'emza holds that the schach is one of the defanos, is a mechitza. While the Maharal in love be'emza holds that the schach
is not one of the defanos. So maybe that's the machlokes. Machlokes, they would agree you only say love in a mechitza. Is the schach, is the roof of a sukkah a mechitza, or is it something else, a sikh? So that's the machlokes. Is a schach and a mechitza the same thing? If you hold the schach and mechitza the same thing, then you say love be'emza. If you hold the schach and mechitza is not the same thing, then you won't say love be'emza. And he tied this in to the machlokes, a few different machlokos
To two different machlokos. One is on Daf Zayin and Beis. The question is, what if there's chamsa who insults my house of fathers? What if the schach is mostly shaved, but the walls let in mostly sun? So that is a machlokos in the Chachamim of Yoshi in the Gemara. Right? Machlokos. So what's this whole issue? So this whole issue you can tie into Rabbi Yoshia and the Chachamim, right? Rabbi Yoshia holds, he's looking for the other area, not whether the schach counts the defanus, whether the defanus counts the schach. He says, just like schach needs to be mostly shady, the defanus needs to be mostly shady. Chum hold, no, only the schach needs to be shady. The defanus are a different story entirely. So they're arguing about whether schach and defanus counts as the same thing or not. And this also might depend on, of course, all the issues between Tosos and the Tosos and most and no Tosos Rav Yehuda. Tosos says, especially according to the Rav Yehuda, and not Tosos, because Tosos says they're only arguing about Kamsa Rumin Tosa. They're only arguing about whether it needs the walls need to be mostly shady or not. They're not arguing about all the rules of the walls in Schach. But the Raviyah says no, they're arguing about all the rules of Schach. According to Chavim, the defanus can be made out of Dabar Makalatoma, can be made out of Dabar Shein Gidulo Minakarka, etc. According to Rav Yoshia, the defanus have to be made out of Dabar Shein Makalatoma, they have to be made out of Dabar Shein Gidulo Minaretz. I mean, so it's going to be Yekid. According to Rav Yoshia, he mamish equates the defanus with the schach for all volatile purposes, which means you have to build very, very different circuits than we're used to building, according to Rav Yah. So according to Rav Yah, for sure, Rav Yoshia is totally equating the defanus with schach. Well, the Chacham are totally differentiating the defanus from schach. So that might be a very similar issue. This issue also comes up in Machlokes between the Rambam and the Rush about whether it's yes or no on the Chitzus. The Rambam holds there is an Isser Hanoah on the Defanos, and the Rush holds there's an Isser Hanoah only on the Schach. Why is that important? Because the Gemara is this Rush, Chol Shem Shamayim on the Sukkah. There's an Isser Hanoah on the Sukkah. What is the Sukkah? The Rush says, just the Schach. The Defanos are something different. The Rambam says, no, the Schach and the Defanos are together one big Sukkah. So again, we have a machlokes about whether we conflate the Defanos and the Schach. The Rush says the Defanos are a different ballgame from Schach. The Rambam says the Defanos and Schach are all the same ballgame. Although, like in everything else, I mean, this is classic methodology, there are two ways to interpret. The machlokes Rambam and Rush, right? This classic hakira, right? Two people are arguing whether the Isra Noah applies to the Defanos. Are they arguing about how broad the Isra Noah is, or how important the Defanos are, right? Are they arguing about how high you can jump, or how high the bar is? So it could be they're arguing about. It could be they're arguing about the status of the Defanos. The Rambam holds the Defanos are the same as the Schach. The Rosh holds the Defanos and Schach are two totally separate halachos. Or Rav Chaim wanted to say no. Really, they both agree that the Defanos do not count the Schach. They're arguing about the extent of the Isra Noah. Does the Isra Noah apply only to the Chepz of Sukkah per se, or to everything necessary to keep up the Sukkah? Okay. But these are some issues that tie in to what may be the machlokas here, which is the relationship between the schach and the defanus. If so, what we just have to add, we also the Gemara also applies this machlokas to Thomas Ohel. It's not only about schach. They would also argue whether you could say lamed behemtza of a roof for the purpose of Thomas Meis. So they also have to be arguing about whether schach is defanus and whether Thomas Ohel of a Meis. That Ohel is a mechitza. Whether Thomas Ohel is a mace is based on a definition of Ohel as a mechitza. So the man of our love of the would say Eschach is a mechitza, and the Ohel of Thomas Mace is a mechitza. The man of our aim of the Emtsa would say that Eschach is not a mechitza, and the Ohel of Thomas Ohel is not a mechitza. It's just something that carries the Tumah. So they're arguing about whether in Sukkah, you're supposed to be under a certain type of mechitza, and in Meis, you're tummy if you're under a mechitza. Where the other member says, no, in Sukkah, there's something called Schach, nothing to do with mechitza. And in Ohel, there's something called Ohel, nothing to do with mechitza. Now, of course, they have to coincidentally be arguing about two things. So the other way to view their argument is that, just flip it around, Lekulei Amo Schach
and Ohel Toma have nothing to do with Mechitza. So what are they arguing about? Mandar Eimon Ve'emtza says Lavod is only for Mechitzas. And the Mandar Yeshon Ve'emtza says Lavod attaches all things.
Maybe that's the machlokes. Everyone agrees that Tzach is not in the realm of Mechitzas. Everyone agrees that Ohel Ve'emtza is not in the realm of Mechitzas. They argue about the power of Lavod. If one line number says Lavod, it joins, combines, attaches any objects, even an Ohel Ve'emtza, even Tzach, so each Lavod Ve'emtza. The other one says, no, it's a special rule for Mechitzas. It doesn't apply to non Mechitzas, ain't Lavod Ve'emtza. So, what Rav Lifton just wanted to end with is he says, if this is the basis of the machlokas, which makes a lot of sense, because then they're only arguing about one thing and not about two different things, then it could be it's also telling on this basic hakira about Lavod. Because if Lavod is that, it's the whole just doesn't bother us. What do you mean a whole doesn't bother us? Anything culture, love, that can't be. Means within mechitzas. Mechitzas are okay if they have holes in them. So then it should be a rule only for mechitzas, which, according to what we explained there, might lead you to say, ain lovod be'emetzah. There's no lovod on a roof. While if he says that the hole is filled in, then maybe it would apply to everything, not only mechitzas. And if it applies to everything, and basically said over there, you would say love of Benza. So it could be the love of Benza is ultimately telling you the same here. If that we fill in the hole, then that might apply to everything, even a roof, and we'd say love of Benza. If it's that we just a hole doesn't bother us, and pizza's hole doesn't bother us, but in other things, hole bothers us. Therefore, we would not say love of Benza. Okay, that's about all we had to say about love, which then, just to go back, if you remember, we had a discussion with Shimon Gamliel's idea of four tefachim lavod. We want to say it's clearly not a rule that is mamish attached to kalta chula. That just meant it doesn't bother us a whole lot to four tefachim, which meant that for four tefachim, according to the reference Shimon Gamliel, we for sure wouldn't say lavod lahachmer or lavod be'emtza. The suffix is only shy from the three tefachim of the chacham. Okay, that's about it for lavod. Any questions?
Can you explain the graph's rejection of the...
Yeah, if we said here, if here we say the Rama, right, who says that the Defanos are Aser Behana, and the Rush holds only the Schach's Aser, then we have the same two ways of explaining. The first way we want to explain is that Lekuli Alma Rak has sukkah, asarana. Everyone agrees only the sukkah, the sikkah, the schach is asarana. But the Rambam holds that the defanos are schach, and the Rosh holds the defanos are not schach.
That's the first one. What?
Yeah,
it's sukkah is schach. Schach.
The second way is that lekuli alma. The fathers are not schach. They are not the sukkah, the sikkah. The fathers are just the fathers. All they are is a support. All they are is a support. They just support the sukkah. They're not the sukkah. They just support the sukkah. So what's the machlokas then? The Rambam holds, the Rosh holds, that only the chefza shel sukkah is also the hanaa, and the defanos are not the chefza shel sukkah. Well, the Rambam holds everything which causes the kashrus of the sukkah is also the hanaa.
The Rambam holds, he uses the more expansive as Hanah. Anything which leads to this sukkah existing is also Hanah. Even if it's not actually part of the sukkah. They both read the Fanos are part of the sukkah, which is they're not arguing that the relationship between Tzach and the Fanos. They're just arguing about the breadth
of the Isra'ilah.
Okay.
The next thing we discussed is Gura'as Ibrahim. Gura'as. So we started out with one observation, which is that there seems to be a big difference between the land. Certainly when it comes to this Indian,
feel free to help me out here if you remember the Shia well. There seems to be a difference between good asik machitza and good achz machitza, which is that it seems to be taken as a davar pashut, as more of a davar pashut, that we say good asik, which is going up, then good achz machitza. Right, all over the Hilchos Shabbos, we seem to say good achz machitza. Good asik machitza goes up. The only time we have machlokas is now we had. Sorry, let's go back to it.
We have two ways to understand
good asik machitza. Why does machitza go up?
Either that literally the machitza goes up.
Right, and as long as he said, or
that mechitza doesn't go up. But the mechitza
defines the area inside it as a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and once it's defined as a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, naturally Rosh Hashanah Yachid means that space, geographical location on the earth, as high up as it goes, ad l'rachuba. So we're not sure whether it literally means we make the machitza go up, or whether just the Rosh Hashanah Yachid goes all the way up to the rachuba. But he wanted to say that it sounds more like that first possibility that good asa means literally good asa machitza, the machitza actually goes up. And what makes him say that? So we got to the point, there were two places in Shas, we had a machlokas. Between Abai and Rava on Sukkot of Dalet on the base and an Erevin Daf Peitesim and Aleph and Sadi Beis on the base, right? Sukkot 4b, Erevin 89a and 92a. We have the whole issue of whether you can do good asa mechitza for mechitza she'inim nikars, right? Let's say you have a building or an amud. Can you go up from there? Right? If there's like a roof there, so it doesn't really look like a machitza. So, the Abayi says you can do good asik, and Rebbe says no, you need machitza nikaros. So you can only do good asik when it looks like machitzas. But not over there, when there's the roof, and it just looks like that's the edge of your roof. The machitza are nikaros on top. If you stand over here, you don't see any machitzas. As opposed to here, if you stand over here, you would see machitzas. So, but it seems to be the Rapush that we say good asik mechitza. So everyone agrees good asik mechitza. The machlok stone mechitza nikaros. But it's Pasha that we say good asik mechitza. And he says from this discussion, mechitza nikaros, it sounds like the issue is that the mechitzas literally go up. That's why Rava says that they have to be nikaros. You have to see the mechitzas, like, so that you can draw them up. So he wanted to conclude that we definitely say good asik mechitza. And mechitza literally goes up. The only question of mechitza is nikaros b'ina and v'leka. But when it comes to good achis on Shabbos, it's not so pashut that we should say good achis mechitza, that we should bring mechitza down. So on Shabbos, it's more pashut to move the mechitza up and not to bring to draw the mechitza down. He pointed out that in mikvahs, it's the opposite. It's more pashut to bring the mikvah down and not up. Why? Because the chachamim mikvahs don't hold for any good anything. But the Tanakh of Yehuda holds two cases. Good achis mechitza. One is, let's say you have this mikvah, 40 saw and a guy total. So the guy's going to have some water on his body. So now we're left with only 39.999 saw. And here's the guy, and on his body is the other 0.01 saw, that there's just some water stuck on his body. So what does
Rabbi Yehuda say,
and now I want to tell. Am I Tahar? So Yehuda says, yes, good afit. Or as long as he's touching, his toe is touching the water, we view all the water on his body as down in the mikvah, and therefore there's 40 saw in the mikvah. Good achas.
According to Rabbi Yehuda. Do we say good asik?
What if, you know, I want to take a needle and toe the water on the guy's here? Can we say, oh, view all the water is up, aren't they? Just like view the water of him is down. View all the water of the mikvah is up. Do we say good asik?
So they said that depends on the mountain.
There are two different girsa. The final girsa, in the case of a mountain, has three pools of rainwater.
One pool of rainwater, and this is 40, this is 20, this is 20. And there's a little trickle of water running down the mountain, rainwater, that's it. It's just a mountain, it's a crater. When it rains, the craters fill up, and there's a little trickle that constantly connects them.
So obviously I can total the middle, that is 40 saw. How about the top and bottom?
So, Rabbi Yehuda says, this one I can. I can say, good achas. We view this 40 saw is down here, so now it's 60 saw. So I can total it. But we don't say good asik. I can't total on the top one. We don't see this 40 saw is going up. And here also, we answer the question, we don't say good asik.
So Rabbi Yehuda says, don't say good anything.
They say, it's all bad. But Rabbi Yehuda says, good achas, but he won't say good asik. So,
how come in mikvah, you might say good achas, but never good asik? Well, in Shabbos, you'll say good asik, but we're not sure about good achas. Why is this the opposite direction?
So he said, you have to say that good asik and achas doesn't just mean you can take anything up and down.
rather, it depends on the context. The difference is that in mikvah, we're not discussing the machitza of the mikvah. As that's, you might have thought that, what's the issue? The issue is, can you bring this wall of machitza upwards and cover more things, right? Can you bring these walls of machitza upwards and extend them to the walls of another machitza? So no. It's not a matter of the machitza of the mikvah. It's a matter of the water. Can you imagine that the water has gone down or up? So if you're imagining the water moving, now it becomes very poshut. As long as water is connected, you imagine it all moving. So, which way does water move? Naturally, obviously downward, never upwards.
Therefore, it's easier to imagine water moving downwards, because that's gravity. It's harder to imagine water moving upwards, because that's against gravity.
But that's not talking about extending something, that's talking about moving the water. When it comes to Shabbos, we're not talking about moving. We don't want to take this machitza and move it. No, we want it to be here and go up to the Shemayim or go down to the home or wherever it is. We're not discussing moving object, we're discussing extending a machitza. So in extending a machitza,
it's equally easy to extend the machitza up or down, because we're not actually moving the machitza. We want the machitza where it is and extend it.
So then the question is just the power of the machitza. So the better the machitza, the more powerful the machitza.
So when you have good asik, what does good asik mean? The machitza is on the ground, and you want it to go upwards. So that's a very good, powerful machitza, because it's attached to the ground where it should be. So then it's easier to extend it upwards, because it starts out as a powerful machitza. When you have good achas, if your machitza is over here and you want to extend it downwards, then it's not even such a good machitza to start with. Because it's not around, because it's not sitting on the ground. It's not defining the geographical location of that makom. And therefore, he says it makes a lot of sense. When you're talking about moving water, so it's easier to move it down than up. When you're talking about extending the machitza, it depends how good of a machitza you have. If you have a really powerful machitza, it's easier to extend. But then, weaker machitza is harder to extend, and that's why we can say good asik very easily, but it's a little harder to say good achis, because that's a weaker machitza. But it's not because it's hard to go down. For mikvah adrab, it's easier to bring things down. It's because when it comes to extending machitza, it's just a less strong, it's a weaker machitza if it's not on the ground.
Well, why is that?
Why is that? So this is, I wasn't sure. I was hoping someone would tell me, was this segueing into the Gideon Bokin bow? Or was this even besides that?
I thought the feeling was making was extending upwards is that you're not trying to connect it to anything. You're just yanking it up and letting it go to infinity. Whereas when you're being mechaber something to the carpet, I didn't understand why, but I thought that was the feeling he was building.
Right, it was not 100% clear to me exactly
why he was saying that I threw out a certain formulation, but it was not what he said. I thought he was saying what I was saying, that it's not really a full mechitza, and that's why it's harder to extend. So it's not on the ground, it's not such a good mechitza. Now, I don't know, maybe that's because of what the Gemara says in Daf Kof Aleph, which is that the Gedino broken bow, or maybe that even without the Gedino broken bow, if it's just not firmly planted on the ground, it's not such a strong mechitza. So I'm not sure what he meant, but I think he meant what I was saying. That's the way I recall. that it's just the problem is not that it's harder to bring something down. Problem is that it's not such a good, it's not strong, it might not really be a mechitza. Because, either because the gedim can go underneath it, or maybe just because it's not firmly planted in the ground, so it's not such a strong mechitza. I'm not sure what she meant. Then, we went to the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, which the main sugya of Shabbos is about good achas. And what we seem to say, we had really two in Yom there. We seem to say, the Gemara seems to say that really, basically in the end, you can say good achas mechitza. Right? If you had the case of a boat, right? Then you know, it's just like you came to a point at the bottom. You could say good achas bring mechitza the boat down. You really can say good achas mechitza, except where Gedina broken bow. At least that's what it says in the beginning of the sukkah. You can say good achas mechitza, but not when the Gedina broken bow. So really, in the end, in Hilchos Shabbos, it seems, you can say good achas mechitza or good achas mechitza, meaning you can extend it both ways. Just the problem is that when you extend it upwards, there are no gedim broken bow. When you extend it downwards, since the goats can come in and out, that prevents you from making this mechitza. And then we mostly discuss the following hakira. Which is, what's the problem of Gideon Bokimbo? Or Bikias Gideon. Right? The fact that goats can fit in underneath if it's 3 tefachim off the ground. So is it? What's the therefore? Is it that therefore it's not a mechitza? You want to extend it downwards and make it a mechitza through Gerachas mechitza, but if the goats can come under it, then it's not a mechitza. How can it be a mechitza if goats are walking through? The Bekiyas Kediyim is a mevatel shem mechitza. That's one possibility. Either it just can't be mechitza, or you can't draw it downwards if there's a Kediyim, or really it is a mechitza. Good achas is good achas. But it's not a mechitza. Because the goats coming out. Right, maybe it really is mechitza. This is a similar kind of what we had about Bekiyas Rabbah, right? Bekiyas Gedim. If the Gedim can come in and out because the ground is left totally open hefker, then maybe that's not a mechitza. Maybe it is, but it's a mechitza. It's a fair and square mechitza. But this mechitza is not a mechitza of a Rishis Rabbah because of Rishis Yachid. Because how can you call it Rishis Yachid? Private, secluded Rishis intended for personal usage. If the animals can run in and out whenever they want. So that's the chakir we had. What are the nafkaminas? So we want to say a few nafkaminas. One was, have a client, right? What if you made Gideon Bokenbo for client, right? You want to make a wall in between your grapes and your wheat so that it wouldn't be client, and the wall was up in the air, and the goats could, it was more than three tefachim up in the air. So would we say this is a good mechitza or not? So if it be invoked will kill the shame mechitza, then it would not work for klayim. It's not a mechitza. If it's not a mechitza, then your klayim are mixed. And all your food would be asurvana. But if it was a mechitza, so it's not a shayachin, then it would work for klayim. So it's not a shayachin. For klayim, you don't need a shayachin. You just need a mechitza. You're not trying to make a reshus. After all, it's only one wall for climbing. You don't have to build 4 walls around your wheat. Just one wall where your wheat faces the grapes. So, nafkamina might be for climbing. Another nafkamina might be for the machlokes and Tosfos. Tosfos has two deos
about whether good achis works for the bottom or only for the top. At least in this half we know the Gemara, right? The Gemara at one point thought, if you had this case, right, with the trosicle here, right, in the street, that at first they thought everyone would say good achis mechitza, that it's a real mechitza, and that your chayiv if it lands on it. The excuse me. So if so, then what about the fact that that and therefore this is considered a rishos hayachid? What about the fact that in Erevin it says that if you have a little balcony over the sea, you can't take water from underneath your balcony because the mechitza doesn't go down? So how could it be? How could an Erevin say the mechitza doesn't go? I have a little balcony on top of the sea, and I want to cut a hole in that balcony and then draw up water. I can't, because underneath that balcony is not a Rishle Yachid. Ah, here it is, Rishle Yachid. So it says 2 days. One day it says, no, this is a Rishle Yachid, but this is not a Rishle Yachid. Meaning, good after says, we bring these mechitzas down for the purposes of what's on top. But we don't bring the mechitzas down for the purposes of what's on the bottom. And the other day it says, no, it takes a different approach. So Tos says 2 days as to whether we should bring the mechitzas down for the purposes of up, but not down for the purposes of down, or is that ridiculous? You can't make that chalak. So what does this depend on? So we thought maybe if
the we take the first day up in Tosos de Ramasso, Vizorak Menach, and what does that first data tell us? That good, we say good achis for the top, but not for the bottom. Now remember, this sounds very counterintuitive.
So we're saying good achis, we're bringing the mechitzas down. But we'll bring the mechitzas down and call the top a Rosh Sayachit. We won't bring the mechitzas down and call the bottom a Rosh Sayachit. So if the Kiyas Nidir kill the mechitza,
then you can't say this.
If the Kiyas Gedim kills the Mechitza, then look, either there's a Mechitza down here, or there's not a Mechitza down here. If there's a Mechitza down here, it's all Rosh Hashanah. If there's not a Mechitza down here, it's all Rosh Hashanah. But if really the Kiyas Gedim is a Mechitza, it just moves the Rosh Hashanah, then already Tosfos sounds more logical. This is definitely a Mechitza going down from this basket. Definitely mechitza, but on top could be Rosh Hashanah, and on bottom can't be Rosh Hashanah. That makes a lot of sense. The Bikias Gedim says the bottom is not Rosh Hashanah because Gedim go through, but the top is a very private place. Gedim don't go through the top. So then it makes Tosfos Chiluk makes a lot of sense that you can say good achis legabe one place and not the other because it's a mechitza either way. The question is just whether it's Rosh Hashanah. You can say the top is Rosh Hashanah and the bottom isn't. So it will also affect the question of the Maskan of the Gemara. The Maskana of the Gemara says that Bekiyas Gedim is a problem. Bekiyas Dogim Lo Shmei Bekiya is not a problem. Bekiyas Dogim is not a problem. And that's why if you, if I have on the land, if I have this mechitza in the air and the Gedim going underneath it, that's no good. But if I'm at sea, and let's say, I want to, draw water from the sea. So I have on the gangplank, I have mechitzas around the edge of the gangplank, and I lower a bucket through them. That's okay, the mechitza will go down, or we share a well, and I want to be able to take from my half of the well to my house, and you want to take from your half of the well to your house, we can put a wall in the middle. And we'll view it as going down to the bottom of the well. Why? Because even if fish might be able to swim underneath this wall, no problem. Bekiya, the breaking through a fish is not a problem. So why is Bekiya's dogging not a problem?
So this dependent is Hakira.
If Bekiya Gediyam breaks the mechitza, destroys the mechitza, because how can it be mechitza if people go if something goes through, then Bekiya's dogging also destroys the mechitza. Meaning, if what Bekiya's Gediyam means is, don't lie to me with your halachic system.
You can't call this a wall if animals are going through. Then you also can't call it a wall if fish are going through. But
if what the Kiya does, Gideon does, is it ruins the Rishah Yachid aspect,
why? Because it takes away the Shemus Yachid,
then what am I saying? Kiya's Gideon takes away the Tashvash Rishah Yachid.
That makes it not Rishah Yachid. I can't use it for my personal uses if Gideon I'm running through. But Dagen, don't
compete with the tashmish of the yachid.
Fish don't in any way disturb or affect or compete with my use of this area. Whatever I want to do in this area, I can't do if the Gideon are running through. What am I going to do? I'm going to eat, they're going to come take my food. I'm going to work, they're going to come knock over my implements and my crafts. Whatever I do, they're going to disturb. But fish, by definition, cannot disturb or compete with the use of the yachid. However, human beings use something is a very different way than how fish use it. Like, what am I going to use it for? I'm going to use it to drink, to take water for drinking. Fish don't stop me. I'm going to use it to throw things in the water. The fish don't stop. Whatever I use, the fish live on a completely different level, on a completely different madriga, and don't compete with me. We can coexist. We don't bother each other. Then the Gemara makes a lot of sense. The Gemara makes a lot of sense. That Bekiyas Gadim is Shema Bekiyah because it takes away the usage of Rishon HaYachad. But Bekiyas Gadim doesn't take away the usage of Rishon HaYachad.
But how do we explain Gemara
if you take the tzad that kills the Mechitza? So why doesn't Bekiyas Gadim kill the Mechitza? So you can say, or
you can say like Rashi. Because if you say like Rashi, then you explain the Gemara. Because then the Gemara would be difficult.
So you can say like Rashi. If you say like Rashi, you can make sense of the Gemara according to all Pshatim. Because what does Rashi say? Why does Bekiyas Gadim Dagim not count? Because you can't see Dagim. Meaning Rashi says Bekiyas Dagim doesn't count because we don't take into account Dagim at all. So if we don't take into account Dagim at all, then it doesn't matter any longer. Dagim don't exist because we don't see them. So if we don't take into account what we don't see, then it doesn't matter any of the longer. Bekiyas Dagim is literally not a Bekiyah. Because Dagim don't exist for all intents and purposes. So that can solve it according to everyone. Now the
this might be a point of, well, the fish aren't going over the boat, they're going underneath the boat, they're not really having any interaction where you want the fish to be anyway. So nobody really says that.
No, because you want the mechitza to go all the way down
underwater
to the seabed because the mechitza has to touch the ground.
Why?
Because otherwise it's not for the simple reason that what you want to do is you don't just want to like walk on this plank. You want to take a bucket from this plank and lower it and get water from the sea. So the mechitza has to go all the way down to the sea in order for you to get your water.
But in terms of carrying on top of the boat,
no, carrying on top of the boat is not right. Carrying on top of the boat, well, is carrying on top of the boat. Is let's say it's not a problem. At least in this case, we're envisioning the routes. Certainly if it has a floor. Now here's where I got. I'm not sure. A little lost. Then we had one last question. The Gemara ended on a different note. What did the Gemara end with? It says, "Ein kal hu shekilu chamim v'mayim."
There's a kula mechitza teluya materes b'mayim, and this is a kula of the chacham. The chacham made a kula for water, so they knew water is very important, and they were mater mechitza teluya.
Now, what does this mean? They were mater mechitza teluya.
In water, there's no problem because you say good asik, and there's no mechias gedim. There's only mechias dogim. Mechias dogim is loshim on mechias.
So what does this mean? What's the kula?
Why do we need a kula?
And here we have two approaches. Either A,
you could say Bekiyas Dagim is Bekiyah
if not for a kula.
There's really, we would have thought Bekiah's dog was Bekiah. It's only a kula that we ignore the Bekiah of the dog. Okay. Or you could say that there's a separate problem of Mechitza Tluya. That a Mechitza Tluya has a separate problem over and above everything we've discussed until now, which the Kula solves. Meaning, sometimes, this is what Eric has said before, sometimes you can have a question of good office, but the Mechitza is not necessarily Tluya. Right? Like in the case where I have a plank and I have walls around that plank, or I have a boat and walls around the boat, that Mechitza is not Tluya. That Mechitza is surrounding a real room. Just there's something underneath it. But sometimes there's Mamash Mechitza Tluya. What's Mechitza Tluya? Here's my well. And here I put a Mechitza. It's Mamash Hengi. It's not on anything. In this case, if I have here's my plank and here's a little room and here's the water, that's not necessarily Mechitza Tluya. Because it's not hanging, it's on a room. It just happens to have space underneath it. But a Mechitza Tluya, or like the case in Sukkah, what's the case in Sukkah? Here I want to build my Sukkah. So I'm Mishal, so here I make my Schach. And I'm a shal shal defanos, my defanos go down, never hit the ground. That's mamash mechitza kluya, that's a hanging mechitza. So a hanging mechitza, okay, that we would have thought was really its own separate problem, was really an issue, and is only cooling water. But otherwise, if a psul, midrabanan, of course, if the Rechamim could solve this, a psul derabanan, called mechitza kluya. And he thought that really there is this idea of mechitza kluya. In Sukkah, they discuss these two cases. Rabbi Yehuda's case of if you make a wall, splitting a well in half, so that each person can be dual saw from their half of the well, but it's hanging in the air, and the mishal shel defanos mimala lamata. If you start from your skaf and you start hanging down the defanos, and they don't go down enough, you hang it from the skaf and they don't go far enough down, which machlokes with Yosi and the Chacham. That is mechitza tluya. Now, Echam Lechem said there's one thing he doesn't understand about mechitza tluya at all, which is, where do you draw the line? I mean, what if a satellite, like, lets down, you know, some little walls, you know, like 6 million miles up in the air, like that, mechitza tluya, and it makes whatever underneath there is a yachet? He doesn't know, he's not sure. But, in Chazal's days, they didn't have this problem, although theoretically. The Gemara wants to equate these two cases, say, look, this is Rabbi Yossi, who said it's okay, and this is Rabbi Yehuda said it's okay, in both cases the Chacham said it's not okay, and they say, no, maybe it can be mechalik. Because on the one hand, this case is more machmir because it's deraisa. So you need to eat in the sukkah deraisa. While this, we're talking about a well between two chatzelos. Midrabanan, the well is just like a makom Torah, karmelis. Actually, it's a rishon hayachid, the well, it has walls. So it's just like different, it's just a even chatzelos. The chatzelos rishon hayachid, the well is rishon hayachid, the next neighbors chatzim shayachid. It's just a question of that they didn't do an erev chatzeros together, so they need to split up the well because I'm not allowed to go from my chatzer to your chatzer, or from my chatzer to a joint chatzer because we didn't make an erev. But that's only dependent on the rabbanan. So maybe even Reb Yehuda, who's makel here, his makel to the rabbanan would be machmir here. Or conversely, maybe even Reb Yossi is makel here because sukkah is only mitzvah taseh. But here it's an isid rabbanan of Shabbos, and Shabbos itself is an isur sekula. So maybe Shabbos is more math. So the Gemara discusses it purely in kula chomer terms. Meaning everyone agrees mechitza tluya is like some sort of drabanan, and the rabbanan are makel sometimes, and makra sometimes. And so it could be Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are the same. They both hold their makel, and Chum hold their makra. It could be no. Maybe Rabbi Yossi is only makel by sukkah, which has no aspect of isser skila. But he'd be makra by Shabbos, which is connected to an isser skila. Or maybe Rabbi Yehuda is only makel by Shabbos because he's talking about the drabanan aspect of Shabbos. But we machir by sukkah, because sukkah is a doraisa. Okay, the Gemara makes it purely quantitative, purely like kula is one of the chum feel like being makel. Rav Lichtenstein wanted to explore. Rav Lichtenstein just wanted to explore the possibility, even though this seems to be against the Gemara, that maybe there could be a more fundamental difference between Shabbos and sukkah when it comes to the idea of mechitza tluya. Maybe there's really a more serious difference between them. How so? Because maybe the maybe you could say that Rabbi Yossi would be master in Sukkah. Maybe Rabbi Yossi would say it's okay in Sukkah, but would say it's not okay in Shabbos. So the Gemara says, because Sukkah is not saying Shabbos is connected to Skeel. Maybe you say, no, because Sukkah all you need are defanos, so it still counts as defanos. On Shabbos you need mechitzos,
and it doesn't have some mechitza.
So maybe theoretically you could say that a mechitza tluya is a dofen, but it's not a mechitza, and that's why you're guilty. Might be machshir and sukkah and posel on Shabbos. But he pointed out this makes two assumptions: a, that a dofen doesn't have to be a mechitza, and b, that you can have a dofen even though it's not on the ground. And even though the diyum go through. Okay, but if you make those two assumptions, you can have a dofen even though it doesn't block anything off. And a dofen doesn't have to be a chitza, so you could explain it in a more fundamental way. But again, the Gemara didn't go that way. Now, just in terms of Pesach, the two last points we made was who do we pass like? Rav Yossi or the Chachamim. So, everyone passes like the Chachamim, and that's how we know, of course, Halacha Maisa, that mechitza tluya does not work for sukkah. If the mechitza starts creaking off the ground, it's possible. The Rav Yah, possibly like Rav Yossi, he used the rule of Rav Yossi and Koimo. The Rav Yah was in the one that I put on the sheet, Tafresh Chavdalit. But the one of Lichtenstein read, if you notice, the one on the sheet said, Kamoshi Parashi Le'el. The one of Lichtenstein read in Shio was the one of Le'el, so the Tafresh should test, where he is the main place he passes like Rav Yossi. And that's where it had this part that he quoted. He says that the Rav Yah has one problem. Once he's passing like Rav Yossi, then a mechitza tluya is okay, but don't we know Kiyas Gedim is a problem? So how can a mechitza tluya be okay if Kiyas Gedim is a problem? So the Rav Yah wanted to say that if you have a 10 tefach mechitza and then three spaces of Abir, this is okay, because a mechitza tluya we pass like Rav Yossi, that it's kosher. But if you have 7 and then 3 of Avir, this is not okay because of Bikiyas Gedim. And Rav Lichtenstein said, this formulation of the Rav Yah is very problematic. Meaning, for everyone else in the world, there's no problem. Bikiyas Gedim is always a problem, and Mechitza Tluya is possible, and you don't have to say any Dochuk Svaras. The Rav Yah, he wants to be Masha Mechitza Tluya, but he wants a Pasol Gedim Bokimbo, he has to say a Dochuk Svaras. The Hector Mechitza Tluya is if it's 10, which Rav Yossi actually does say in the Mishnah. The soul of the Kiyas Gedim is if it's 7 and you want to use that 3 to make your dofen, no, you can't use that 3. So Rav Lichtenstein just pointed out, what do you mean Kiyas Gedim? The problem here is that you don't have a mechitza 10. And don't say you can use lavud, because you can't use lavud if it's more than 3 or more. So he says, it's very strange. The problem with that Kiyas Gedim is that you don't have a mechitza because there's no lavud. So he says, this goes back to what we suggested last time, that maybe the Rav Yom and Hol, that the whole reason that there's no lavud in 3 is because of the Kiyas Gedim. Even the Maskana of the Sugi, even though that's not what it sounded like in Shavuot Bar. Who did we quote there from last time? So it could be that's the Rav Yah would have to say. Then he only left with one last thing, which I didn't totally follow. Maybe you can help me out with this, Noam.
What? It was the Ritva.
Oh, that was the Ritva. Right, so maybe the Rav Yah would like the Ritva. Thank you very much. The Rashi in the Irvin Daf Pevav. I think he meant the Irvin Daf Pevav and Aleph, the Ramaskal Bein Mitoch Ogno. Where Rashi seemed to say that Mechitza Tluya, that the man of his Machshir Mechitza Tluya is because we say good Achas Mechitza. Which Rav Lichtenstein says he would have preferred to keep a little separate, as he said, meaning there's one issue of good Achas Mechitza. And that's a function of Mechitza Kedim, that's one sugya. Mechitza Tluya is a separate problem also, Mechitza Tluya, over and above whether or not you can say good Achas Mechitza. So he said he's going to have to work a little more, and maybe we'll come back to that Rashi. But he would have said, no, Mechitza Tluya is, with or without good Achas Mechitza, Mechitza Tluya is its own issue. Rashi seems to combine the issues. Maybe Rashi holds like Derek A here.
How are they different? How are they different?
So that's what I was trying to say before. Now, Rav Lichtenstein he never said in Shir what he meant. So I am here assuming that that Mechitza Tluya is a new deal, because this is the picture that I made before. That I think that if I have, here's my house, and out of my house is a balcony, and this balcony has a mechitza of 10 all around it, and I want to know whether I can go down. This is the sugyah that we say good achas, and we do, and the sugyah of what about the fact that Kedim may or may not be broken bone. That's not mechitza tluya. The mechitza is not hanging. The mechitza is very firmly planted.
Mechitza tluya means that here I want to build a sukkah, so I made some stach,
and I hang a machitza.
But it's not hanging. It's not on anything.
So this, I think, was what Rufi meant. There's another problem here
that besides the issue of Gudakis,
which you may or may not say, although we seem to say it all to be equal, and besides the issue of Kiyas Gedim, which may or may not be Bokeha, there's a separate problem. There's machitza. It's a hanging machitza. It's not on something. Unlike this case. They say it's a machitza on thing. And that's also the case. But well, there are two cases of machitza tluya in the sugya in. In the sugya in sukkah, daf tezayin, are this case and the well case. If here's my well, and I want to divide the well in half by a ball like this.
Why does
that's a machitza tluya. It's hanging.
Why does machitza tluya come up by the sfina, the dagger? There. That's the invariant
of who says it comes up by the Sfina?
Doesn't it? It's very bad.
He wanted to say Bekiah's Dogim is not Bekiah. Is not Bekiah. How do we know? Because we wondered if Mechitza Tluya would be Matir, and the answer is it's only Matir in water. Bekiah's Dogim. So Bekiah's Dogim is also going to be Bekiah. But the case of Mechitza Tluya is not the case of the Sfina anymore. Meaning, I don't think the Sfina is Mechitza Tluya. I think the Sfina is not Mechitza Tluya. That's this case. The Gemara just, I got on the Sfina, they asked, what about Bekiah's Dogim? And they said, we'll prove to you there's no problem with Bekiah's Dogim. How do we know? Because Mechitza Tluya works in water. Obviously, Bekiah's Dogim is not a problem. Okay. And just, Reb Lech Tzitz Chakir, AB here was, what do we mean they were making in water Mechitza Tluya? Does that mean Bekiah's Dogim would have been a problem, they were making to ignore it? Or does that mean no? Bekiah's Dogim is misvara not a problem. The cool is that there's a new problem, Mechitza Tluya, in some cases, which they were mikol on when it comes to water, because of the importance of water.